This is in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. If any man hear my voice, the still small voice stands right outside your consciousness, knocking, waiting for you to say, I hear you, I acknowledge your presence. I acknowledge infinity at my consciousness, waiting for me to let it in, waiting for me to drop the false sense of me. That is opening the door. And then infinity will sup with you, will share its infinite table with you. And from the far ends of the universe, all that is needed, all of the divine qualities of the Father must flow in and through you, performing their divine function where you stand. If my kingdom is not of this world, how can my qualities be in this world? How can omnipotence be in this world if it is not my kingdom? The power of God only functions in my kingdom, not in this world. The power of God only functions in the one divine life. There is no other life in which it can function, because there is no other life. If you are in the life of the world, the mental life stream, you have missed the divine qualities in your experience for that reason. Omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience can only function in the one divine life. And when we stand in a state of non-life, by virtue of the belief that we are human life, we are literally preventing ourselves from experiencing the divine qualities of being. You will discover that not only did God not create matter, but God is not even conscious of matter. God is not conscious of the material world. God is not conscious of the material errors. God is not conscious of the material health, of the material peace or the material war, of the material abundance or the material lack. The human mind is conscious of matter, but God is not. That is why we must see that because God does not protect matter, is not conscious of matter, we who are conscious of matter are not living in that which is of God. If you think God is conscious of matter, give it a second thought. Just take a beautiful rose and see how conscious God is of that rose. Put it in your hand and squash it, and see what God does about it. Put a fire to a tree and watch the forest burn up and see what God does about it. Put a match to a house. Put a bullet to a brain and see what God does about it. Nothing. You can spread diseases all over the army if you want to. God won't stop it. God is not conscious of the matter that God did not create. We are conscious of that matter. Who's right? You know the answer. That is why we are learning to dissolve our material consciousness. God is spiritually conscious. That is why we are learning to be spiritually conscious, so that we can live in the spiritual universe. And so we learn that we cannot dissolve our material consciousness while we are in a human mind. The mind must be transcended. It is when the mind is transcended that we become awake to another realm. And there we find every promise of the Bible already fulfilled in the finished kingdom of God on earth. We thought we had to seek these things forever. And here they have been, silently awaiting our recognition through the soul. If this is what we have sincerely sought, the way is clear. I stand at the door and knock. To go another minute or another day or another year without meeting this I is to turn away from those things we allegedly seek. I am the will of God. I am the light of God. I am the water and the wine and the truth and the power. I am life itself. I am the still small voice. And if you were drowning, if you would but know that I can never leave you, and trust in me, the water would subside. Air would fill your lungs. You would be free because I in the midst of thee am mighty. And whatever problem you may face at any moment, if you will but remember that I in the midst of you am the only power, and that I am not in the problem that you see, you will know that error never has God's substance. There is no divine substance in any error. And therefore, it is being held there only by one thing alone, the shred of your belief that it is there. Remove the belief, and you remove the false substance that is keeping it there. For I, the Father, I, the Spirit, am never in an error. I am never in the whirlwind. I am never in the hurricane. I am never in the pain. I am never in the broken bone. I am never in the lack or the limitation. What is keeping it there? Human belief. The belief that it is there is the substance of the error. There is no divine substance in any error on the earth. Remove the belief and watch the errors dissolve themselves. This is one of the great secrets, that God never heals anything. For there is nothing to be healed. There is nothing to be improved. And the moment you find yourself thinking there's something to heal, and something to be improved, you're in that mind, which is sustaining the image that it thinks is its problem. And that mind is a captive. It is controlled. Its thought is not its own. It has borrowed cosmic thought, and it is out picturing, just like a television set, that which it believes. Its own belief, out pictured, becomes its problem. But God is not in that belief. God is not in that problem. And only God is. In the silence of that mind, we behold the salvation of the Father. In the silence of the mind which believes in error, we behold the perfect universe revealing itself as the ever-presence of God itself. I will sup with you if you open the door, and you with me. And this supping is the divine feast of truth. The table in the wilderness, in the midst of thine enemies. The table of truth that can never change, that is independent of every physical appearance on the earth. This supping pushes the mountain of error into the sea. It pierces the veil of ignorance that holds man captive. It banishes every problem, no matter how monumental it appears, to the sense mind. We are not to wait for a crisis. We are to sup with I now. For I is the only life there is. There is no other. I is not in time. I is not in space. And when you are lifted into I, you are lifted out of the false life stream of dying minutes. I is eternality itself. It feeds you from its infinite storehouse. And no longer are you in the passing time. In I, you are not male or female. In I, you are not young or old. In I, you are Christ, living the divine life on earth as it is in heaven. And only in I do you break the bubble of time. Only in I do you break the mesmerism of the senses. Only in I does the hypnotism of the world end for you. That's where we sup. Now watch how easy it is for you to violate divine law. The Father says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am the Lord thy God, and beside me there is none other. I am the only life there is. I am not the supreme being, I am the only." And then you worry about someone. What about my daughter coming home after 12 midnight? What about my son, drafted 6 months ago? What about my husband, 66? How will we live? These are violations of the knowledge that there is only one life. And as we violate the truth, we invite the lie to act upon us. The lie has no power to act upon us except through our belief in the lie. And you may look at a circumstance, a rib that is protruding, and say, well, what can I do? I can't put it back in. That's not your function. I in the midst of thee, that is my function. I will reveal the truth to you. I will dissolve the illusion of the senses. Every time you step into the belief of any imperfection in your life or in the lives of those around you, you have discovered a second life, a life that is not the life of God. And that makes you more important than God, because God knows of no second life. I am the only. And it is this high degree of alertness in you which will prevent you from stepping out of the Garden of Eden every day. There is no second life. Every pain I feel, every despair, every frustration is my belief in a second life. And my suffering is not from my despair or my frustration. These are the decoys. These are the effect of my false belief. I am not suffering from discords. But discords exist because of my belief that there is another life than God. As I repair my belief, as I contemplate the truth that the Father knows that He is the only, and that the Son must learn to accept, then I learned the great meaning of the Sabbath, the resting. Because we are learning to be beholders, not doers. A doer in Christ begins as a beholder in Christ. No one would ever accuse St. Paul of not being a doer. But before he could be a doer, he had to be a witness. To witness the Christ in you, in your neighbor, to rest without judgment, to look without seeing what you see, to non-react to the world around you, because there is no imperfection in the one life. Even the bomb, the bullet, all of the forms of evil that you see are only beliefs outpictured. They have no substance because God alone is substance. You can knock on them and they will resound. They will be hard. But you are only hearing the hardness of your own belief. The senses will ever be mesmerized into the false sense of reality about that which is not of God and not divinely created. But I, in the midst of you, I can reveal to you the reality where the sense mind sees its false sense of reality. I, in the midst of you, can reveal spiritual abundance. I can reveal spiritual lack of limitation. I can reveal spiritual health. I can reveal your spiritual life, which no human mind can do. Your new religion is I. For I, in the midst of you, am the church of God. I am the only church, the true church, the one church which brings the will of the Father in you as you. I am the kingdom of God within you. I am the inner universe. I am your life eternal. And the life that I am is the life of God in you. Through me you can walk through the fire. Through me you will discover that every divine quality of the Father is already functioning in your true being. Now, in the one life, I am the church in all men. I am the infinite life of God on earth. Not distant, not remote, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but in the eternal now of being. Whoever follows me walks into the kingdom of God. You will discover that I is your miracle worker. I recognizes only itself in all men and bows to no false powers on the earth. I does not drown in the ocean or fall out of an airplane in the sky. I embraces all that is. I is the miracle of divine life which you are invited to enjoy by opening your consciousness to it, acknowledging it, accepting it, surrendering to it, and then being obedient to it as it dictates to you the will of the Father. That obedience becomes your daily demonstration. You continue in the inner word. I in the midst of you am the inner word. Continue in my word, and you will bear fruit richly. Now, this is the kind of Mother's Day gift we all should give to our children. The understanding that their identity is the one life. They are not separate and apart from God. They are not separate and apart from us. For the one life is indivisible. Its power is functioning throughout itself on earth now. We're recognized, we're acknowledged, we're accepted, it makes itself manifest. Or you even find that when you talk to a leaf or a tree, you get a response. When you acknowledge the one life, it acknowledges you within itself. Dwell with that a moment now. You'll see that the mortal mind in you will challenge that. It wants to condemn. It wants to evaluate. It wants to grade people of A, B, C, and D. But you can't grade the one life. It is perfect. Nevertheless. It may have an ugly face or a pretty face. It may have a skinny figure or a fat figure. Don't let it fool you. Only the one life is there. And know that the one life is ever complete and perfect and will ever demonstrate the perfect harmonious life where you stand, with nothing ever missing. To a human mind, it may seem temporarily I am lacking something I want. But don't be fooled. There is nothing missing in your one perfect life. It is the life of God. It will stretch out into planets unknown to pluck for you that which is yours and bring it directly to you in an instant if necessary. Its will be done. And is being done. Don't stand on the wrong side of the street waiting for the sun to come over there. Accept the presence of that one life now. Surrender. Give yourself to it, and it will give itself to you. The voice is never heard with the outer ear. It is not even heard with the inner ear. It is heard with the soul. All of the five senses are fragmentary imitations of the one soul. The ear on the outer is an imitation of the quality of hearing in the soul. The eye is an imitation of the quality of seeing in the soul. All of the five senses are counterfeits, giving us a fragmentary idea of that which the one soul ever does perfectly. And when you hear the voice, it is a soundless sound. It is God the Father speaking to God the Son. Just think, if you wanted to, you could pick up a phone right now and dial Chicago. Nobody could stop you. But if somebody in Chicago wanted to, they could pick up the phone right now and dial you. Nobody could prevent it. Do you think we can do anything that God cannot do? Do you not see that God can dial you anytime, anywhere? In fact, that God has already done that and has set up a perfect system whereby there is continuous communication between God and you. Do you not see that the telephone is but a pale imitation of what God has already completed within you? The communication from God to you is continuous and uninterrupted. God communicates with you by having planted within you the Christ. God communicates with the Christ, and there is a constant communion going on. If you're tuned out, it's your loss. If you're tuned in, you hear the voice. It's always going on. And that voice, that soundless sound, is much more than a voice. It is the source of life itself, and the life, and the effect that that life produces. It is the government of that life. It is the nourishment of that life. It is the allness of God functioning in the midst of you. And it will always come to you not only as a voice, but as an experience. Whatever is needed at that moment will be the experience that will appear. This is grace, and nothing can stop it. Grace is knocking at the door of your consciousness 24 hours a day. Open your consciousness, and it will sup with you. The opening is the rejection of your sense mind, of your personal sense of life, of your material consciousness, your willingness to sit in silence with no human aid, with no need or seeking of human power, of physical power, of mental power, not even of spiritual power, in the knowledge that only the one life is. And when you can do that, you have accepted there is only one life. For when you accept that there is only one life, why would you seek a power when the one life is the only power? And so, each disciple learns, I must put my hands behind my back I must put my sword back in the scabbard. I must release myself from every plan to maneuver, manipulate, seek, or strive, or plead, or pray, and trust the one life to do its perfect job where I stand, 100%. Then am I taught by God. Then am I the Christed one. Then am I ushered in to the kingdom. As long as you have this merest iota of defense, or caution, or fear, or human emotion, anything that prevents you from being a total transparency for the Christ within will be a shadow preventing the perfect demonstration of sonship. But the way has already been prepared for you to be that son. And that way is the Sabbath. The Sabbath of the senses. The Sabbath of the brain which receiveth not the things of God. The Sabbath of the human false personality. The eternal Sabbath resting in the Father. Thy will is being done, for there is no other life than thee. I have no sword. This builds the atmosphere in which the voice will come. That's how you open your consciousness. You trust your Father 100%. In spite of every appearance to the contrary, Father, in you there is no evil, and there is no outside of you, for you are infinite. Evil has no existence in my consciousness. It has none in yours. And now I am seeing with the same eye as you. There is no evil in the Father's consciousness. As long as evil exists in mine, I am saying that there are two lives. So my work is on me. I see no evil in my consciousness. Nothing can enter to defile my consciousness. Who convinceth me of sin? I am honoring the Father, abiding in the knowledge of one life, and no other, no second. My friend, my enemy, both are that one life. How can they be enemies? Only in appearance. We have no enemies in the one life. We have only the one Christ. Everyone is a neighbor in Christ. You see, we're cleansing the temple, getting rid of the money changers, making our house hospitable for the entrance of the Spirit. And coming then under divine law, the one power. In this manner, you will be prepared through transformation for the life eternal, made immaculate as you are in the image of the Father. All that is not of the Father is dissolved. There was one who did this, John, and because of it, he received the voice which gave the world the revelation of St. John. And those soul symbols, which have baffled the world, contain within them the truth about us, our being, our true life, our reality, and the reality of all men. We have, through the Sermon on the Mount, learned how to empty out, to purify, to release the old ways, and to let in the new. That purification, which must continue, is necessary to prepare a way for the voice. Revelation can never enter until we have been purified of material consciousness. And in the measure that we have been cleansed, in that measure will the voice now enter with revelation, as it did for John, enabling us to receive the wisdom from the Spirit itself instead of from the mouths of men. That's perhaps why we've been led now to study John more closely than we did 3 years ago. Much that is new has been revealed. Much that you have learned has made you a more fitting instrument for the Spirit. And in this new series, we will learn how to live in the will of God. I've sent out notices to all of you. You receive them in Monday morning's mail. You can pick them up from the little platter out there in the little anteroom if you wish. And the purpose of the revelation of St. John will be to reveal the way to Christhood. And you'll discover it's exactly what you've been doing these past 20 weeks, preparing a way for the living voice of the Father in you. The secret of all Scripture, the secret of the Sermon on the Mount, secret of the Holy Bible is one life. Every word, every syllable is pointed to make you know that only divine life exists, that you may drop all belief that there is any other kind of life, any other kind of presence, any other kind of power. And from that knowledge will come your peace. And you will find it to be a peace that will eliminate every remnant of fear and doubt. For with that peace comes the still small voice. And from that moment on, behold, I make all things new. I reveal the earth that my Father created before the foundations of this world. Walk ye in it. These past 20 weeks have been a great joy. We have all shared some interesting things. I hope we are all the better for it. It's been very, very rewarding to know that there are those in this city who are ready for the highest teaching about the Father, who are not willing to compromise, but who wish to walk in the garden on earth as it is in heaven. That is the kind of class we shall continue to have. And of course, You're all very welcome. Thanks very much.